Welcome back to WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively at the Beaumont. I have a Beaumont crab cake in front of me. I've been killing the French fries and the Brussels sprouts here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're giving the Raven scratch-offs away. Billy Herman's going to get one of these. Our friends at the Restaurant Association of Maryland reminding everybody, restaurant week can be any week. Get out, eat, enjoy yourself, take care of your servers, do what we did. Went to Liberatore's the other night, saw John up there at Lib's Grill, had some fun with some relatives of Billy Herman we're going to be talking about as well. Our friends at Window Nation, I'm not going to put the hat on because I'm trying to keep it respectful here. And the sunlight's out there, but I will be wearing this. I wore this for a couple minutes last weekend to keep the sun out of my eyes out at the trifecta where I had a great time. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. They put our windows in. Can't rave enough about them. They're great, great people. Take good care of them. And Goodwill. It is Halloween month. We filled a whole summer slew of stuff. We dropped it off over in Joppa Road right near Dr. Steve's office. In the Lock Raven area, and we had a lot of Orioles and Raven stuff, some Free the Bird shirts that I'm just cleaning the radio station out. All of it brought to you by Goodwill. It's Halloween time. I'm going to go as David Bowie this year. It's an idea my son's had for a long time. It's been a long time since I've had this guy on, one of my dear friends, longtime sponsor, a guy we connected at an all-star game at Yankee Stadium many, many years ago, and wound up taking the late train home and finding a mutual love of Bruce Springsteen, good food, American freedom, and chicken fried lobster tail here at the Beaumont restaurant. Bill Yerman, you know him. Yerman, Whitman Gaines, all the names and title companies and like all that stuff. And people say to me, whatever happened to Yerman? I see his brother Jimmy all over the place, like at the trifecta coming up and during the Grateful Dead thing. And he wanted to talk to me, but the Dead was playing. And he's just like, no, I got to go see the show, man. But go see Billy. He'll come out and get a crab cake with you. How are you, man? You and I both spent time in Canada lately, right?
Yes, I'm doing great, Nestor. It's always good to be with you, to hear how you're doing and to hear how the positive work that you're doing with the city and trying to make Baltimore a better place for all. It doesn't go unnoticed, and it's appreciated. So,
it gives my butt to come on a show.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay, now, you gave me that writing. Can I hand that back to you now, that script?
That I don't need to kiss your butt to come back on the show?
No, that you wrote that for me to say about
being
more positive.
No, I didn't write that. Come on,
that's
man.
A joke, everybody.
No.
So, things are terrific. I've been spending a little bit of time in Toronto. It's a city that I spent my 40th birthday many years ago celebrating, actually in the Sky Dome, with Randy Johnson pitching. And 18 years later,
So, hold on. When's the first time you went to Toronto?
It would have been in, 2004. No. When did I turn 40? Born in 64. 2004.
Okay.
Was the first time I was in Toronto.
You're 4 years older than me. Okay.
Right. And I just loved the city. And I was like, wow, this is a really cool, beautiful place. And for most of my life, I would say 54 of my 58 years on this earth have all been spent within about 5 miles of the same place, of the place that I was born. I went to college for 4 years in Atlanta, but I've never really lived in a city.
I've often thought, like, could I live a summer in Amsterdam? Would I want to live a summer in California? You know?
Yeah.
I've never lived anywhere but White Marsh.
Right.
Dundalk, downtown, and Towson.
Right. This is our lives, and, you know, at this point...
I've never lived west of 83. Right.
That's true, too.
That's true.
That is true.
That's true.
You're bounded by the highways. I wanted to try a different experience. So my wife and I just started spending a little bit of time up there. We have three daughters, and one of them is in graduate school about an hour away from Toronto. So it's awesome to get to see her more.
Was she in Hamilton?
She is in a town called Guelph, G-U-E-L-P.
Well, I covered hockey, so
right,
there's
so
always
players.
Right, so if you
know always hockey, yeah. From always hockey players from Guelph. Great little town, about an hour and 10 minutes west of Toronto. So me being up there a little bit more gives me a chance to be with her. She's got a couple more years left in her in getting her degree.
Well, Toronto for me, first time I went to Toronto, I was with my beer buddies, 1992. David Segee got me World Series tickets. 93, I'm sorry, not
Joe
92.
Carter.
The Joe Carter year, the Phillies, 93. David Segee got me tickets in 92 for Pittsburgh, and the thing that kept me from the World Series at Three River Stadium was the Sid Bream play. Remember the famous Sid Bream play at the plate? The Braves won.
Oh, yeah.
Beat the Pirates, beat Barry Bonds, Doug Drayback.
That's what kept you out.
Right? Leyland, all of that, right? What's his name was there? Bonilla was there, too, right? So that was 92. So in 93... David Segee said, I got you. You know, if you need to buy, because the players could buy strips of tickets. They all got four. And he's like, I'm not using them. If you want them, you and your buddies want to go to the World Series, okay, you know. And I'm like, oh, there's nothing like the World Series. I'm 24 years old. This is a great thing. So it's funny. I met you in an All-Star game. My 20th All-Star game I met you at. So 93, I got four tickets for the World Series for games 1, 2, 6, and 7, okay? So 3, 4, and 5 were in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Madonna played across the street the night of game 4. Mm. It rained sideways. That was the 18-16 game. The game didn't start till 10:55 at night. I knew the press box attended at the Spectrum from covering hockey. I went over and saw Madonna. So this is all within 1 week in 1993, October 93. Get tickets in Toronto, tickets in Philadelphia, strips of tickets for my buddies. I'm now sitting on four tickets at the Sky Dome for the 1993 World Series. All I needed to do was
get there.
Get there. Me, Johnny Raphaelides, the Killer Dave Miller, and Kevin Eck, or was it Swish Morrison? It might have been Swish Morrison. We all jumped in the car. We almost hit a deer, you know, in Pennsylvania.
Oh, deer.
Middle of the night. We drove up all night long. We stayed at some airport Super 8 in Mississauga. They had really, really talented adult ballet there, if you know what I'm talking about, Mississauga. They do things differently up in Canada. So my introduction to Canada was driving across the border at Niagara Falls to go see two baseball games, drive home. I was new on radio. I did my show from the field in Philadelphia, games 3, 4, and 5. Harold Reynolds was an Oriole at that time. He did the show with me on the field. Curt Schilling was pitching. I stayed at Curt Schilling's house because Curt was a childhood friend. His wife's a childhood friend. Then I drove back up for game 6 with a girl I was dating who married a friend, and I can't talk about it on radio. It's been 29 years. Maybe I can.
You can now.
But I can't now. So, what's up, Jules? So, had a great time. Went up, and we were there when it all happened, and the Joe Carter. And I was wearing a Phillies jersey in Toronto. And all I remember about that night was being out on Yonge Street, Y-O-N-G-E.
Yes, why? Right. Yeah,
Yonge Street.
Spell it wrong still every time.
Where Getty and Alex went many times. And the people were 100. It was the first time in my life I had been somewhere where they won a championship. And I'm 24 years old with a really cool girl. We're downtown. The Phillies had lost, but the place was a party. And all I remember all night long was hearing that Shaggy song, Oh Carolina. You know, that's all I heard all night long. So that was my first trip to Toronto. So I have fond memories of Toronto.
Talking about the Sky Dome, which is now called the Rogers Center. I still call it the Sky Dome. I still call the Raiders the Oakland Raiders, and that's just the way it is. I went last week to my second game of the year. So the Orioles were playing in a pennant race game in Toronto. And my wife and I bought tickets at the last minute and had wonderful seats to a playoff pennant race game. Unfortunately, we lost. It was the Saturday game. We missed the Sunday game, which was when I think they scored 3 runs in the 9th maybe to win that game to stay in it.
Was Getty at the game?
No.
Have you met Getty yet?
I have not met Getty. I'm looking for him.
He was in L.A. the other night.
Playing?
I know you love music, man. And I know you've seen some concerts. I went to Canada to see Pearl Jam in Quebec and Ottawa earlier in the month. That Taylor Hawkins thing, I screwed that all up. As I'm eating a Brussels sprout. No, the Taylor Hawkins show was at the Kia Forum 2 nights ago. And it was the 53 songs. The Foo Fighters, Def Leppard sang with Miley Cyrus. Rush reunited with Dave Grohl and Chad Smith from Red Hot Chili Peppers. Ann Wilson showed up, did some songs. Like, no, it was insane. It was at the Forum. No, I didn't go.
Why didn't you go?
I couldn't get a ticket.
This is in L.A.
It's a sold-out show.
This is in L.A.
Tuesday night, 27.
One show. All
night.
Those people.
And I knew how incredible it was going to be. I couldn't get a ticket. I hit my buddy who runs Live Nation in Chicago, one of my dearest friends. I text him Wednesday morning. I'm like, dude.
Give me some.
Dude, yeah. No. I said to him, We should have gone. I should have picked you up at Midway Airport, and we should have gone. But the concert thing for us, like, Bruce is playing, and I mean, in Toronto, you went to a couple shows, right?
Yeah, so I got up there probably the first week of September, and I looked at the list, and literally the Eagles, Elton John, and Pearl Jam were all playing within
what do you need?
8 feet of the building I'm living in. So I got to two of them. I couldn't get to the Pearl Jam show, but I got to the Elton John Farewell. This is the final Farewell tour?
They're playing the ACC, right? They're playing the hockey rink, right?
Elton John was at the baseball stadium.
Oh,
that
okay.
was at the Rogers Center.
Okay.
And then the Eagles, which I got a wonderful single ticket in the second row 10 minutes before the show.
That's in the hockey rink.
In the hockey rink, exactly. And I just noticed, actually, that the Capitals will be in Toronto October 13th.
And might be for my birthday.
Happy birthday, mm-hmm. Nestor. I will be hopefully attending that game. And I may get some playoff baseball.
Have you been to a hockey game up there yet?
No.
Dude.
It hasn't started. I'm just not there. I'm going.
Go.
I'm going.
Go see Ovechkin play.
With the Capitals.
Go see Ovechkin
play. I will.
Go
do that. I'm excited. I'm going to
do that. I had never seen a hockey game in Toronto. And I, you know me, man. We've known each other a long time. I don't have a lot of regrets in life. I have a few regrets. I have a few. But then again, too few to mention. We're at the Beaumont where they play beautiful music like that all the time. And the entertainment's better than here. And the crab cake. Dude, I'm killing this crab cake. But I haven't touched the chicken fried lobster yet. I'm letting it cool down a little bit because I don't want to burn my tongue. This is the best thing on a plate in this city. Well, I would call it a tie, and I want to be fair. If you've had the Ekeman broccoli, if you've had, you've never had the tempura broccoli at Ekeman?
No.
All right. This and that would be on my, if I had to die today, those would be the two things I'd choose to be Last Supper kind of things.
Got it.
I mean,
got
it's
it.
That. So I'm,
this
I'm,
is wonderful.
I'm not just going to like moo that. I'm going to, when we get done the segment, I'm going to eat that.
Yeah.
But I'm eating the crab cake. So, concert-wise and music-wise, yeah. right? Like,
so we got Bruce coming up.
Right.
We got a lot of shows next year, starting, I think, in Tampa in maybe late February.
Yeah, I'm booked to Atlanta for the second show. And here's what I've done with Bruce, and I'm full on with this. Tickets are crazy. Dude got me tickets. A friend of mine got me tickets up in Craig, up in State College, wants me to go with him. He's got like an incredible seat.
Mm-hmm.
4.25. Okay, maybe once. I'm not doing that 10 times.
Can't.
Right. So the Baltimore show, Leonard Raskin got me two pimp seats that he grabbed by luck. He just won the lottery, went in, like stuff that we tried four days trying to get tickets. He's like, dude, I got two tickets for you.
He didn't have
The good news is I got two tickets for you. The bad news is you have to pay for them.
Right. but he didn't have to wait out in a parking lot days like we did. Do you remember those days?
I loved all that.
You do that?
I've talked about that at length.
Roysterstown Road Plaza.
I'm going to get Ace on, Ron West, my keyboard player for my band, because he and I camped out for Sticks for the Kill Roy was here.
Grand Illusion?
Roysterstown Road Plaza is where
right.
I camped
that's out. That's where I got my Bruce tickets many, many years ago.
Okay, so if you want to see day 27 of the Crab Cake Tour, I spent the day with Richard Abrahams. It was my first friend from Reisterstown, from the west side of 83. I was 14, 13, camping out for concert tickets, and Richard and I are still friends 40 years
That's
later.
That's awesome.
He came down, had a crab cake with me down in Arundel County the day of the Cheap Trick, Rod Stewart. So day 27 of the tour. Not up yet, but it will be. I want to talk to you about hockey, though, because I had never gone to a hockey game in Toronto. I've been to games in Canada, Moncton, a long time ago on a trip with Barry Trotz, but I had never seen I had been to hockey games in Vancouver, as a matter of fact. I saw the Memorial Cup in Vancouver, big game. But this thing in Toronto, when the Capitals went up there, I want to say it was 16, before they won the Cup. It was a year they got eliminated. It was a year they lost. But they were on fire. They were good enough to win, but didn't win. There was a lot of that until Trotz showed up, right? But this was a Trotz year. It was Trotz's third year, I guess, right? Yeah, that sounds about right, 14, 15, 16. So they played a series up there. It was the first time that the Maple Leafs had been in the playoffs in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And the Maple Leafs, for as rabid as the fans are, the team is stunk. They haven't won the Cup since 67, right?
It's that far
back. Wow. So it's a thing.
So they're starving.
It's a thing.
And they're
it's
starving.
I mean, and the Raptors were really good that year. They were like on the cusp of winning it.
Yeah.
The Great North and all that stuff. So when I arrived up there, it was rabid, man. Like the Raptors stuff was everywhere. But the Maple Leafs are the heart and soul of everything in Toronto. And I had my press pass and I had my sport coat on. And I walked into that arena 2:30 in the afternoon because I was doing radio, doing my thing. And I went up to the roof, and I got chills, dude. I had been in that building to see the Rolling Stones in 10 or 11, before my wife came, maybe 12. We went up to Toronto to see the Stones. So I was in that building, and all I can remember is how pitched it was. And when I got into the building and I looked down, I'm like, oh, my God, this will be a hellhole for hockey. Oh, my God. And next thing you know, I'm up there at a huge playoff game. And Toronto had split. It was game three up there, mm-hmm. and they split down here. So they had, like, hope. Mm-hmm. They you know, they were like,
yeah,
they, city was alive. We can win this series, right? And game three that night, they kicked the Capitals' ass.
So now they're up 2-1.
To be at that game, up on that roof, when they're scoring goals and the lights going on and the blue and whites everywhere and a Canadian national anthem, dude, it was
special.
It was awesome. I mean, I'm so glad I experienced that. But regrets, I never went to the Maple Leaf Garden. I had a chance to see Rush there. Like 25 years ago.
We're talking
long
about the Scotia.
The old. No.
Oh, it's a different building. The Scotia Center is.
It was the ACC. It was the Air Canada Center. Is it not called that anymore?
No, it's the Scotia Bank Center.
Okay, they have a new spot.
But it's the one.
It's the same
Yeah, right
building.
Downtown.
Yeah,
same,
yeah,
same,
yeah, same building.
Yeah.
I saw the Stones there.
Yeah.
I've seen. I saw two hockey games in the Stones there. And I don't know, man. I love Canada. And I'm unabashed about my love of Canadian people and going there. But I spent a week driving around Canada 2 weeks mm-hmm. ago. And it's just different. I don't know what else to say. It's just different.
It's different. It's different, and it's the same. That's the best I can say. There are clear cultural things that just, you know, America evolved and Canada evolved, and, you know, they're there, and you can feel it and see it. But the fact that the language, like, it's so easy to understand everybody. So, like, everyone comes to Canada from all over the world, and it just feels like, you know, they all want to learn and be part of a community. And that's what it felt like to me and has for the last couple of weeks of being there. There's a sense of Canadian pride. I mean, you know, all the things.
You never see a Canadian without a flag on their
flags
bag.
Are everywhere. And just they're very proud to be there. And they love talking to Americans about, you know, the differences and the similarities and all of that. You know, and it's just, it's an area of land that's like just over a bridge. Yet over a bridge also means over a country line. You know, and from that, there are a lot of similarities because a lot of it started the same, but there's also some key differences. And I just got to tell you, just for me, living in a city is just so much fun where you walk out and you grab something to eat. Right now,
that's my jam. Where you know that.
Oh, I got to drive 20 minutes to eat a piece of anything. This way, you get out, you walk. I would take the subway up first, like real subway riding, and I'd go out like 6 miles and then walk back into downtown. Like, that's what I've been doing, learning about the city. Seeing neighborhoods, reading the history. It's just very interesting. And it's, you know, again, it's city living. Like, I don't know if I would say the same thing if I was living in Guelph, which is nice, but Guelph is more of a bedroom community. It's more of like a, I don't know.
Downtown Toronto
is the most vibrant.
Oh my God, it's
exciting.
Incredible.
Every night, you know, you go on the app bands in town.
Uh-huh.
There's like 16 bands in town every night, you know, different this, you know, all over the city.
I spent a whole night in Montreal, so I had
never been to Montreal.
Okay,
I want to
go. I've only been there one time. By the way, Billy Yerman's here. We're at the Beaumont. I want to give the Beaumont some love. I'm eating the chicken fried lobster. It's going to be cold because you and I are BSing. We haven't got the spritz.
I have to tell you, I know, but I haven't said about the crab. I ate the crab cake. It's spectacular. You're sort of half eating it there. I thought this crab cake was wonderful.
Nice. Well, I'm getting the remoulade going over here on the side with it. That's kind of sort of my jam with it to figure it out. But listen, I've been eating this crab cake over State Fair. We've been to El Guapo. They don't have Beaumont shirts, so I'm wearing my State Fair shirt. But we are at the Beaumont. We're in Catonsville. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're giving away scratch-offs out here today, bringing the crab cake tour out in places on Fridays with friends of ours, as well as our friends at Window Nation and Goodwill. Halloween season, make sure you're out there when you're shopping. And from Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, you hear me talk about it all the time. They put our windows in August, and we couldn't be happier. We needed windows. Thank you very much, Window Nation. Appreciate you, Harley, Eric, everybody out there. Amanda taking good care of us. Go ahead. I'm going to eat crab cake.
Did you move out of the city? Where are you living right now?
I live up in Loch Raven.
Okay, so you... Mm-hmm. I knew last time we spoke that was where you were headed, but so, I didn't know where you landed.
So what happened for us is Pearl Jam put their concert tickets on sale. And what a scam Ticketmaster is, like, right? It's the worst thing. There should be an investigation because it's just what they do is really scammy.
It's an amazing lack of transparency. And if they're going to do it that way, they need to explain it to
it's
the public.
So sketch.
It's so bad.
This Taylor Hawkins thing, I had 50 different tickets on my app thinking I had the tickets, and then I did, and then it errors. Like crazy, crazy scammy body stuff's going on. So, and they know who I am. I'm a customer. I mean, I've been a ticket. They know I'm not scalping my ticket. You know,
right.
I bought 1,000 tickets and I've sold 20 right. in my life, right?
Right? Same.
So, literally. But when the tickets went on sale, Baltimore got thrown out. You remember this? Because we had a show and then we don't have an arena right now, right? So when Pearl Jam redid their tour, they weren't playing here. I saw them in Oakland in May because they did their West Coast dates. I had been sitting on those tickets 2.5 years, right? Behind the stage, bad seats. I wound up getting better seats. Had a great... John Modell and I went to see.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my old boss, Matt and Hagen. So I had beautiful friendship going to see Pearl Jam 2 nights. All old friends out in the Bay Area. And they announced the East Coast tour. The Madison Square Garden tickets, when you went on the app, were $1,400. I mean, just right. like, it's not doing it, right? And they have a resale thing with Pearl Jam that if you buy it, you sell it at face value. I don't know what the scam is, but it is one. So I didn't get tickets in Camden. I didn't get tickets at Madison Square Garden. This fiasco with the Ravens. Nightmare fiasco with the Ravens tied me up on September 11th because of the Jets game. And if I would have had Pearl Jam tickets at the Garden, I would have gone.
Sure.
So I went online, and when the tickets all went on sale, you couldn't get tickets anywhere around here. But I looked, and the Canadian shows went on sale. And I'm like clicking, and there's tickets available. And I'm like, well, I've never been to Quebec. I'd love to go to Quebec. I always regretted Roger Waters did a wall show up there, outdoor wall show. And Scotty P and I were going to, we didn't go. You can Google. It's probably 15 years ago now.
Well, he toured the wall, right?
He built the wall. Yeah. So it was years ago. And then they were playing in Ottawa. And I'm like, I'm a dumb American. I'm like, is that 6 hours, 10 hours, 3 hours? Well, that's, you know, what it is, it's 5 hours if you go through Montreal. Thursday night was Pearl Jam in Quebec. Friday would have been a night to hang out in Montreal and do something. Saturday was Ottawa. My wife's from Manchester, New Hampshire, which is the closest sort of southwest port that you could get up there. The flight was $49. I'm clicking on tickets, and there's like tickets. Like you can buy them for 112 Canadian.
Right.
Or it was 140 Canadian, which is 112 American, right?
It was $100.
It was $100. And I'm like, so I can go see Pearl Jam twice with my wife for $500 all in. All I need to do is get there.
Get there.
Get there, which is half the fun.
Right.
So we booked a flight up to New Hampshire, spent the afternoon with her sister and her father and her cousin. Had a beautiful meal. She got to drive me through New Hampshire, through areas I had never been before. One of my dear, dear, dear friends, Dennis Manning, who you may remember from the Ravens, lives in New Hampshire. We stopped and spent the afternoon with him. Nice. And had a beautiful meal with Dennis. Love Dennis Manning. If you love Dennis Manning too, tell him I love him because he knows that. So we drove through Mount Washington where the old man on the mountain fell. My wife gets teary-eyed when she thinks about it. Our ears popped 28 times going up the mountain. Next thing you know, we're down the hill. And we pull into Canada, in Quebec. My wife filled out the Can-Do app thing, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're driving in, and we knew the port we were going into. We purposely weren't going through Niagara Falls or, like, through, like, Vermont or whatever. We were going through a sleepy little, like, we looked it up. We're like, it looks like when Stripes went into Czechoslovakia. Remember that?
I do.
When he went in with the van. So...
I got the shit kicked out of me.
Right. So we pull up. My wife's driving. I'm in the passenger seat. I thought we had like 20 miles to the border, and we're at the border. For some reason, when you're going through the mountains, you're not seeing where you are on Google Maps. And like now I'm up on the Mounties. We left America. We're in between. The American guy's yelling at us. There's nobody anywhere. It's dark, and it's about to rain sideways. And we're seeing the Welcome to Canada sign. We pull in. And the American guy's like, what are you trying to do? We're like, we're trying to go to Canada. We'll keep going. They yell. So we pull up, and there's one Canadian dude, and it looks like you're on a bridge to Bethany Beach. I mean, like, dude comes up, and he's French. We're in Quebec, right? So he comes up. Let me see your passport. You know, he says, so he's speaking in English to me, and he says, are you bringing anything into Canada from the United States? Tobacco, alcohol? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, my sister-in-law had 3 moose heads at her place in New Hampshire. My wife went in and smuggled the moose head. So we're actually bringing 3 moose heads back home to Canada. And he says to me, any cannabis? And I said, what did he say? What's he asking me? Cannabis, cannabis, cannabis. And I said, Oh, no, we don't have any of that. No, we're cool, you know. He's like, all right.
Those are the two questions they ask.
Welcome to Canada.
Right.
So we drive in, and we're in a cornfield in the middle of Quebec. And 3 hours of rubber, moose signs everywhere. Like, literally. Wow. And if you look at how far north you are when you pull in there, you're north of Maine. So we're really...
considerably north of Maine,
really,
isn't it?
Really weirdly north.
Yeah.
Like, when I don't think of my wife being from New Hampshire, like, how far north right. it is. This is the most far north I've ever been in this hemisphere, like, by the time I got to where we were going. We got to Quebec City in the rain. It was so beautiful at night. It's so... it was like something out of a dream. Like, we pulled in and clouds and water and brisk. It was 50 degrees when it had been 90 here.
Sure.
We got our we opened the window. We're like, holy hell, it's winter here, you know? And we drove up the hill. We had a beautiful hotel room for one night at a ski resort up 30 miles north. It was a town called Beaupré, like Don Beaupré, the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent one night there. We came down the mountain and saw these Quebec cities, like, unbelievably beautiful. And we pull into the square, and this is where it gets the concert stuff gets crazy. It's Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
So everybody's Pearl Jammed up, wearing their green, wearing they're here for the show. They're here for the show. We're obviously there for the show. The huge chateau, it's a Fairmont hotel now that you know of Quebec. Mm-hmm. It's that iconic
see the building.
European, looks like you're in Prague, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we're there, and my wife and I are trying to figure out what little bistro, what beautiful French bistro we're going to have a hamburguesa at, you know, like, and French is being spoken by everybody but the Pearl Jam fans. And we're all kind of hanging out, and I turn, and it's like, that's Kenny Mayne. And Kenny and I know each other. It'd be like running to you. So I see Kenny. Kenny's like, dude, we're having dinner over here tonight. We got a car. You need a ride? I'm like, I'm you now, okay? I said, dude, we're going to walk from here to the arena. Dude, that's like 3 miles. Like, you're gonna, like, and I'm like, we're going to walk because we want to see
Quebec. How else do you learn
we
about
wanna
a city?
We want to see Quebec. We drove in and saw the arena and then drove to the city because the arena's on the out. It was a little, you can see it from our hotel, but it's 3 miles away. We walked through a completely flat area. And the funniest thing is when I went to the hotel, we were in a nice hotel down Quebec. I went in and I said to the lady, we want to walk to the arena. You want to walk to the arena? And she said, and I said, well, it's flat. I see it. It's not that far. There is a ghetto. There's a ghetto. So she tells me it's like a ghetto. And I'm like, I just drove through.
I thought
it.
That was a cat.
But no, she was trying to tell me it was a bad neighborhood. And I'm like, I just drove through it. It was like all ethnic food.
Right.
So it's amazing how you say, like, I'm in Canada. Everybody thinks like, but there was something about it being ethnic food that made it unsavory or a place that
interesting.
This
woman and you would never,
walk.
Ever think that.
And we walked after the show. Well, Kenny Mayne drove us home. So we didn't get a ride. He got a shout out and got a song played that night.
Nice. That's
you know,
pretty
so
cool.
That was pretty cool. So we had a little bit of fun with that. So that was Quebec. We drove to Montreal. Montreal, my wife wasn't feeling great.
How she far are they? Are they?
Three.
3 hours apart?
Yeah, 3 hours, two and a half.
Yeah.
Parked in Montreal, got there at 3 p.m, had beautiful Venezuelan food. Found a Venezuelan rape a place in Montreal. Guy was from Caracas. I wound up BSing with him. Had a beer. It was beautiful. Just beautiful.
Yeah, I do the same
beautiful,
thing.
Man.
Just walk around talking to the owners of the restaurants.
I haven't told these stories on the air, and I don't share this so much on social media other than the picture of my wife and I in front of the Four Seasons. We didn't eat it in Montreal. And my wife was like not feeling it that night. She went to bed. And it was like 8:30, and she was just tired. And now I'm loose in Montreal.
Right.
And there were college football games on and people
that's
out.
Great.
And I'm just walking.
That's the best.
Nobody's got a gun.
Right. That's the thing.
You know, I'm like, and my wife's like, I'd be worried about you, but we're in Canada.
Nothing to worry about. Do you know that you're not allowed to carry pepper spray in Canada?
What?
Think about the difference in our countries.
Pepper spray is illegal?
It is illegal to carry pepper spray over the border.
What?
And here, you know, whenever. It's hard to believe.
We'll say about Springsteen because I want to eat this, and I love you, and we could talk all night about it. Because you get me telling stories that I don't ever tell.
That's what I do.
Ottawa was great too. Ottawa had the strangest. This will help you somewhere in your life. Do you like bees, wasps?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't. Not
they don't bother me. They never bother.
Oh,
me.
See, I hate that. Right? It's like,
are you allergic?
I've been stung and blown up, and just not what I needed. The day of a 100-degree day in Ottawa before the Pearl Jam show is to get stung. They had a really bad problem in Ottawa.
Interesting.
There were just bees everywhere.
Okay.
Like, there was everywhere. And everywhere that Sean Simpson, there's a hockey story, Simmer played for Kitchener. Simmer was a elite first-round kind of goalie, Team Canada goalie, mm-hmm. from Ottawa, Oshawa, I think, played for the Oshawa Generals, I believe. Don't get me, Simmer, if I screwed that up, don't be mad at me. He's my friend in Ottawa, and he got sick that night and couldn't come out. He helped me get tickets with his Canadian credit card. It's crazy. But he said, you got to go to this place and watch the waterfall. And he's such a nice man. He's like, you're going to notice how nice we are here.
Yeah.
He said, you're just going to notice we're quiet people here, and we're nice people in Ottawa. You're going to see the difference between being in the States. Right. That's what he's, like, he's warning me. And I'm like, you're Canadian. You're nice people. That's why I'm here. You know, I'm here to see Pearl Jam and go to the Canadian Tire Center where the Ottawa... And, dude, that thing's on a freeway. That thing's way 25 minutes...
Away from downtown.
Capital center from downtown,
right,
kind of.
Right,
not
right.
anywhere near.
So there's nothing to do around it. You just got to get
there. Very little, yeah. You know. So we stayed downtown, and we went to this ledge restaurant that has beautiful views. And the girl, she's like... Outside, there's a lot of wasps. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to try. I'm here. How bad can it was real?
Like, did you get stung?
No. I walked three tables and I saw bees in people's food.
Right.
And they were everywhere. And I'm like, can't do this. Right. We get out on the street. They're chasing me. They're chasing me everywhere. They're chasing me past the cannabis store. They're chasing me past the big Ottawa sign. They're chasing me past the cheeseburger place. My wife and I were going to go and we had a Guinness. So we're just getting chased all day. We finally walked to this other place on the other end of a garden. Beautiful, highly recommended place, outdoor area. There were bees there. It was beautiful waterfall. And we had ice cold moose head on tap.
Nice.
We drank like four of them in 20 minutes because we've been walking. We're like, go. It was 100 degrees. The bees were everywhere. We couldn't go out on the deck. And we got an Uber back to the city because we walked a mile and a half. I get an Uber driver, and the Uber driver's Nigerian, right? So we get in, he's got the Nigerian accent. And I said, the wasp. He said, the wasp are terrible, man. They're terrible here. So here's where I learn. Here's where the education begins. He's like, you have to watch, man. If you have the lavender, they love the lavender. And I said to my wife, oh my God. I was walking in front of the Super Bowl, the Staples Center in LA back in February. And the Old Spice people were out giving away samples. And they gave me an Old Spice. They gave me two. One that I didn't like the way. It smelled like dead wood.
And one was lavender?
And one was lavender and mint.
Oh, no.
And I've been using lavender mint. And I found
that's
that
why they attacked
chased
you.
All day.
Because you're wearing something
lavender.
That they love. Who knew?
You learn this in Ottawa in a cab with a Nigerian cab driver.
Amazing.
When you're getting swarmed by bees.
And that means you always have to be aware and ask the right questions, and then you get all your answers.
Stupid stuff I learned. Springsteen, what are you doing? Do you get tickets or no?
Yes, so I have tickets in Baltimore. I have
Jack.
Baltimore Jack. Mm-hmm. Got a wife and kids. I ended up getting the pit seats, which were ridiculous. I just...
Which was show?
For Baltimore.
Okay.
So I have two pit seats with my daughter, who has seen Bruce 29 times at age 29, which is quite impressive.
I've seen her a half dozen times with you.
Right, exactly. So if she's been 30 times and I had 20 years of Bruce before she was born, you can figure out
what's
my
number.
What's
your first Bruce show? I don't even
1980
know
1980 at the Capitol Center.
River Tour. I remember they played about four shows, right?
Yeah, I went to one of them and
September
fell
80?
In love. Yeah, it's 80. Yeah, mm-hmm. September of 80. I think it was September, was it? It was,
maybe
I was
81.
In 10th or 11th grade, so
maybe 81.
81. It was just the beginning of an absolute lifelong love affair with a musician.
New music dropped this morning, literally.
The Soul album, mm-hmm. is it out?
Yes.
I was reading, so can you hear it?
Like, I haven't listened to it yet. Is this like, I think you know more than me. I don't know this.
This happened very quickly. But what it sounded like was he was doing covers of a bunch of old, you know, classic soul
stuff
songs.
Stuff that he would take on sign request, I said to my wife.
Right. And is it the band? I don't know.
I don't know.
So neither of us, two big Bruce fans, have heard it.
I'm not a groupie in that way. I haven't listened to Bruce actively in a little while. I've been listening to other stuff. You know, when I was in Canada, let's continue to talk about Canada. Bill Yerman's here. We're at the Beaumont. I love the Beaumont. I'm enjoying the hell out of this crab cake. I'm trying to savor it. At some point, we'll get to the end of this. The minute we crossed the border into Canada, where the guy asked me about the cannabis, and we're driving through Quebec, and we're trying to avoid moose and pulling into rest stops to pee, and people are actually nice when you pull into a gas station. It was just a little different than pulling it to certain convenience stores, not Royal Farms, in Western Maryland, where there were guns and Confederate flags and F. Biden signs and Go Brandon. Like, it's a little different when you pull into Quebec and you just got to pee and you're just trying to get a the Fiji water. It is very, very different. In a rainstorm, and the girl's being nice to you and said, and you're stupid. You're like, do you speak English? Of course I speak English.
Right. Everybody does.
Of course I speak English.
Right. Even the French.
So, I mean, you know, they'll kid you if you do that. The radio.
Yeah.
I have an iPod. My wife has Apple. I said, no. I want to listen to Canadian radio when I'm in Canada because every other song is some old April
Rush.
Wine.
You get Rush?
Rush, April Wine, Bryan Adams, Honeymoon Suite. You know, I'm just going through. And Saga. So all of these, Triumph.
Triumph's from
there. Triumph. Yeah, you're like, so all of these great Canadian bands.
That's what they play.
That's what they play because the radio, part of their government, makes them play domestic music.
Right.
So I just relished driving into Montreal and seeing April Wine show up with some song that wasn't just Between You and Me. Baby, I Know Our Love Would Be.
So they went to a deep cut.
Deep tracks. Deep Canadian music is the reason to go to Canada. So Bruce, here's what my strategy is with Bruce, and you tell me whether you want to participate.
Yeah.
And I know you do. So does Don Sheeler. I looked online and saw the Tulsa show, the Kansas City show, Oklahoma City. They're all really easily accessible because they're in red states and weird places. They're in places I haven't been. I've been to Tulsa. I've never been to Oklahoma City. I have been to Omaha. I love Kansas City. So I'm looking at those dates in the middle of February, especially if I've been thrown out of the Super Bowl, and time will tell, that during that period of time, I'm going to road it up with Bruce and try to find some $100 nights to see Bruce. Maybe not have the greatest seat, but experience a couple.
And be there in different cities.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Nothing better.
That's what I want to do.
Nothing
so instead
better.
Of spending $400,
you
think about.
I would love to join you in one of those.
I feel dirty spending $400 to see him in Jersey.
DC was very expensive. Baltimore, Philly. I got tickets behind the stage, so I'm going to do one of those. You know, just sit behind
the
stage, whatever. See the show, and then actually, what we did was before they announced the U.S. tour, they announced Europe, and my wife has never been to Paris, and I got tickets to Paris for May.
Bercy? Where's he playing?
I don't think it's there.
The stadium? No.
I'm not sure. Maybe Bercy. Is it Bercy? Is that how you pronounce it? Mm-hmm. When July 4th in 2013-14, Bruce played in Paris. Where do you remember?
He played Bercy.
Okay, then that's where it is.
Bercy
went to that show
it's
also.
It's like the Capitol Center.
Similar.
It's very, very similar to
Capitol Center. Yes, very similar. Okay, so that's where I was then, and I'll be back in the same thing.
I saw Bruce play at Bercy in 99 before he came back to America. The week that Andre Agassi was lighting up the French Open.
Wow.
So I went to the French Open. I saw Arantxa Sánchez Vicario play. I had bleached blonde hair at that time.
What was Agassi's hair like at the time?
Dude, he was on fire. It was in his Tony Robbins state. He was in his You Bet Against Me. His hair was cut then. He was clean. Yeah. Oh no, he was
something else.
He maximized his potential.
Oh,
which
yeah.
we're all trying to do. Yeah,
that's
right?
all we can
he
do.
He did at that point. He was that guy that figured it out.
Right,
Jake Arrieta. You know, Curt Schilling. Whatever it is. Right.
Yep.
Lamar doesn't have to figure it out.
Where is Jake Arrieta today?
I don't know. Count his money. Hopefully,
Lamar is. I heard you talking on your last segment. The challenge of how to handle this and. You know, you've got a guy who can be obviously injured very, very quickly, and the information or the stuff that's coming his way now from past players who seem to be saying, you know, it can happen on a dime, like from nowhere. You can be, you know, just rolled, your leg gets rolled the wrong way on a sack.
Could happen to practice right now.
Practice right now. Mm-hmm. And the risk, the floor and ceiling are just too far apart. Like, if you end up with nothing because you have, career-threatening injury.
I'm not allowed to ask questions anymore, so I ask questions by proxy through Luke Jones at Baltimore Luke. Luke asked him about insurance, because I told Luke, ask him about insurance, because, that's a very legitimate question.
And?
He doesn't give a straight answer to anything. He's coached like that.
Really? So he did not acknowledge whether his body is insured.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just so much risk. And, you know, the thought process to not work with a professional on getting a contract done, you know, I don't get that.
You don't recommend that?
No, not for one second. And I just don't get the thinking behind it. You know, this is a once-in-a-generation talent.
You're greedy. You like money. But if somebody was going to sign you to $250 million, you would get an agent.
I would get seven agents that would help me figure out how to do this properly.
I talk about that with John Martin and the Maryland Lottery. We're sponsored by the lottery. If you hit the big one,
you get professional help.
You call Lou Blankham and you try to find some good people to help
financial
out.
Planning. Oh, right. It's the same
call
thing.
Call Miller Raskin, my
there's,
dude.
There's nuance about NFL contracts. he needs somebody. And like, who's talking to him?
Well, Leonard and I talk about this all the time. You know, Raskin Global is my sponsor, and we've been on this. And Dennis Colossos, who runs a business. Anybody who's sort of a grown-up running something has concern for him. Out of, if
true
he were
concern.
My son,
right.
if he were
that's
my friend.
That's how I look at it.
If he were my daughter, right. if he were my...
Right. Protect yourself. Do some kind of protection to protect the downside. And that's really all you're thinking, right? So the Deshaun Watson contract seems to be...
I can't do this anymore. I'm going to eat this chicken
fried lobster. Yeah, please eat that lobster. The Deshaun Watson contract really threw everything, you know, completely out of whack.
Well, and that's when I ran into Bishotti down there in Florida. He blew me off. He didn't want to answer... But he was throwing lobs at, like, hey, I'm not going to be as dumb as my dumbest competitor. You know, like, that's not who Steve is. It's just not.
Right, but unfortunately, if that's the market, then that's the market. That's the question that we're trying to figure out. Is a guaranteed $250 million market? Once you pay Deshaun Watson, who's not even playing that money, then you've set the market. And that's, I think, what affects everybody in the league in a scary way, to guarantee this kind of money for the, you know, for anybody, for that position especially. And his style of play, it's a risky style. So you're committing.
He's playing less of that style right
now.
I
know. He's playing phenomenal, obviously. I mean, just ridiculous.
It's beautiful to watch anybody get better.
Yeah,
when people get better.
Absolutely.
You know, that's all.
Listen, when he went out last year, they lost, what, six in a row without him. I mean, so he is that kind of a talent. They don't come along very often, and we have a chance to have him, and we want him. You know, but I guess the other side of it is you've got to have some sort of fiscal responsibility or some sort of strategy to make sure that you can fill the other pieces with the cap that you have left. So I don't think they're easy questions. I don't think they're easy, you know, decisions to make for either one of them. But just put professionals together so that, you know, they can talk through them. And it's not just, you know, he got 250, I should get, like, that doesn't feel right. It feels like there's so many deep, deep issues with these kinds of large contracts, the Aaron Rodgers and the whatever, the old, not really Brady, but the other guys who just, you know, get a lot of money, and what that does to the ability of the team to continue to, you know,
sign
players.
Well, we've
seen
that here with Flacco, but more than that, where Murray was and where Deshaun Watson is and where Russell Wilson got his deal, I don't know what to say for Lamar, but he's very, very talented.
Is the Mahomes, just help me out for a second, is the Mahomes guaranteed?
Yeah.
250?
No, it's not. These are really complicated contracts, right? So Lee Steinberg signed that a couple years ago. He's locked up there. It's not guaranteed in that they could cut him and suffer some dead money.
Right.
So that's really the issue. The guarantee is
the dead money.
Not only have to pay you, it costs
against
you against
the cap.
It's against the cap as well. Bill Yerman is here. Tell me what to find you. You don't want to be found. You just want to be.
No,
be
I'm,
lost.
Just, I'm just.
You're just,
you know,
my pal now. You used to be in the title business. Right?
I was a title guy for a long, long time and got out of that. Sold the company at the end of 2016 and have been doing business consulting and executive coaching since then. I enjoy it. I enjoy helping businesses strategically get better, and I enjoy helping organizations with their culture and mergers and acquisitions, and when you bring companies together and all the cultural things that come from that organization.
You say that I have in the culture? No?
Say what?
No, class, culture.
No,
different. No, different. Oh,
no,
okay.
Different. You got plenty of
different kind of culture. Okay.
Yeah,
the
culture in an organization, when you bring two companies together, no matter what and no matter when, the ownership, everything is different.
Oh, I'm seeing how things are different with Bishotti ownership than the Modell ownership right now.
Exactly. Exactly. And the culture is set at the top, and the leaders, you know, have a big impact on how organizations work and how they come together. And when you bring companies together, or, you know, through a merger, through an acquisition, so much of it is really left to the legal piece and, you know, the deal and the earnout and all those things. And I don't think generally enough thought is given to the organizational strategy to make sure the employees feel safe and make sure that the two cultures can work together. And, you know, I like when I get those type of gigs because, you know, that's something I've always enjoyed.
You can see growth in
people. You see growth in people. Right. Organizations are not people. Organizations are comprised of people, but the success of the organization is based on the cultural way that people interrelate and how they work together and they collaborate. And is there trust? Do they trust up? Do they trust sideways? And it takes work
to build that. All these things are so important in government too. Like, literally.
It's important
in
everything.
But
you look at it and you see, like, how often it's missed because it's the deal or the money or the earnout or the... But if you can't get the cultures to work, and if you can't get your folks to want to work and work for you and have a good sense of self and a good sense of the organization, then all the deals that you make in the world don't matter.
Because you don't get there.
Because you don't get there.
You don't have success.
The time has to be spent really intently on making sure that people feel safe.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was almost unsafe with this chicken fried lobster and getting garlic butter all over myself. I haven't done that. We're out at the Beaumont. We're celebrating life and the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Billy's scratch off for you. That's the lucky
Thank
one for
you. Thank you.
We got the $2 scratch offs here. Also got some Show Me 10,000s. We'll have some next week. I'll be putting the whole tour together into the fall, usually on Fridays. Today we kind of went a little early out here at the Beaumont. Would invite everyone to come out here and enjoy just delicious food. I didn't even get the burger today. Susan came in and ordered a burger to begin with. But Bill Yerman, our friend Howard Scher, stopped by, as well as Lou Weinkamp, who's next door. He gave me a bunch of shrimp take-home from Franco's for my kitty cat and a
nice.
Delicious bookmaker. Best bookmaker in the city is right next door, too. So, but come on out here. Enjoy Catonsville. I'm wearing my State Fair shirt because they don't have a Beaumont shirt. El Guapo is also out here. Our friends at Goodwill remind everybody, if you got stuff in the closet, they can put it to good use. I did a piece last week about how they're keeping doing recycling and keeping the plastics that they have there out of landfills, trying to minimize that. Also for Halloween, good stuff there. I'm dressing up as David Bowie. The Restaurant Association of Maryland, as always. And I haven't put the hat on. I wore the hat last week at Cooper's. A little bit of a bucket hat. Mm-hmm. I mean, really good beach hat. Window Nation. 866-90-NATION. They did our windows about 8 weeks ago. I literally could not be more pleased at how that worked out. I know they'll take great care of you, great pricing, all the things we talk about here with our friends at Window Nation. Appreciate you, dude. Thanks for stopping
by. Nestor, great to be
with
you. We'll
get some Springsteen in. I'm going to finish this off. On behalf of Evan, Keith, Nick, everybody out here, Brad, treating us real good out at the Beaumont. We always appreciate that. Come on out, see them. Now open for lunch, which was... I did the show here up at the bar at Christmas time last year, and it wasn't open for lunch. Mm. Was like a vision of what they were going to do, and we've had people in here all afternoon. So come on out. I had lunch here with Gino Briaco, Baltimore
nice.
Skip Jackson,
sure.
right at this table. Gene sat there, Nella sat there, my wife and I, and we sat here and enjoyed life for a couple hours.
Fantastic.
An old hockey story. There's a Canadian. He's from the Sioux, you know.
Ah, I yeah. did not know that.
All right, we'll sing O Canada next show. Billy Yerman, my friend. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. Luke's out in Owings Mills. And we're wrapping up baseball season, but we're sticking to more than sports around here. We are BaltimorePositive.com.